The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to America's Web Radio. It's time now for the Doctor's Lounge Show with Dr. Scott Barber.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Doctor's Lounge. You're listening to me on America's Web Radio. It's great to be back in the studio. I've been out taking care of some business. I have had some family things to do with my kids, but I'm really excited to be back in the seat today. Today I want to continue to connect the dots. As we start to move through our world's history, it seems like all of the events that happened during the COVID pandemic are starting to fade in some people's minds, and it's as if we're trying to retcon history. And I think it's really important that everybody pay attention to what happened during the COVID pandemic and really life itself. That's what wisdom is learning about the things that never change. And if we don't learn what happened to us during the COVID pandemic, then things like this are going to happen again. And I want to just help connect some dots so that people don't lose sight of what actually happened. And it's really important. And it's not just about COVID. It's really about everything in our lives. We've sort of lost this idea of freedom of thought, freedom of speech, the ability to debate ideas. And I've really noticed it in my life that things have really changed since I was young. When I was in school, I was always taught to think for myself, to evaluate data, to respect other ideas. I remember watching a movie called The March on Skokie, which was a drama that was based on a real events where a bunch of Nazis marched down this street in Skokie, Illinois. I think it was a very Jewish neighborhood. And it was the movie was titled The March on Skokie. And it really examined the idea of free speech. And one of the powerful lines in the movie was where one of the Jewish activists said, the Nazis must be allowed to speak because the Jews must be allowed to speak. And the point was, you cannot limit free speech. In order for us to get to the truth, which is really the meaning of life, it's what God wants for us, is the search for truth. We have to be able to think out loud. We have to be able to debate ideas. We have to be able to confront one another. And we have to also understand that there is no arbiter of truth. There is no individual or group of individuals. I don't care whether they're experts, so-called. I don't care if they're leaders of organizations. They don't have the monopoly on truth, and they certainly don't have the monopoly on free speech. And we're constantly being suppressed these days, both covertly and overtly, under the guise of hate speech. And what I mean is, we're being influenced to limit our speech and to accept things that are presented to us without debate. And it's a very dangerous situation. And one of the tools that they use to prevent us from thinking out loud or from having free speech is they say, well, that's hate speech, and therefore it must be limited. But who gets to decide what's hate speech? The people with the authority, the people with power, they get to tell us not to think for ourselves. They'll deem something misinformation, and that we have to ban this speech because it's misinformation. And I'm thinking to myself that when we look back at something that is deemed misinformation and then turns out to be true, shouldn't more people be asking the question, why was I limited in the first place? And a perfect example of that is masks. I think I can say that now with the Cochrane review that now confirms with a meta-analysis of the study of masks. We talk about it on the show all the time that they do not work. And, you know, I mean, when you look back at it, what exactly was a mask? Define it for me. They never defined it because it wasn't a true statement. And there was a time when people would say masks don't work and they were banned and censored and all sorts of things. And then it comes out that masks don't work, and then we move on as if that didn't happen. And I want us to not just move on and not to just kind of forget about what happened. I want us to ask questions about what happened and start to get back to a world where we can talk about things, where we can think out loud without worrying about losing our ability to work or our ability to pray or our ability to go to church. You know, we had a situation during COVID where they shut down churches but kept open strip clubs. And I, you know, I'm sitting here saying I don't want that to ever happen again. And how do we do that? Well, we have to get people to wake up. We have to get people to critically think again. And that's what I want to do on this show, is I want us to critically think. And ultimately, my goal is to have free market healthcare, because our, you know, my father used to tell me the greatest gift that I was ever given in this life, next to my health, was being born a citizen of the United States of America, the greatest society that ever existed, where we are free to follow our dreams and to achieve anything that our imaginations can create if we're willing to do the work. Now, the important thing there was my father recognized that health is the most important thing, that gift that we are given. And so our relationship with our doctors to promote our health is one of the most important relationships we can have outside of family in this world. And with the government constantly taking control of our health care, it's affecting one of the most important relationships that we can have. And I think we saw this during COVID, where individual doctors were losing the ability to practice their practice medicine with their patients because of interference from the government. And it's not just COVID, it's other things too. But one of the things that always frustrates me about healthcare and trying to reform healthcare is that most people don't access the system. And so they don't understand how their healthcare is being eroded, because they're not being confronted with it on a daily basis. Most of us go out and we buy our Blue Cross Blue Shield or our United or our Humana or our Aetna or our Cigna healthcare, and we put that card in our pocket and we feel like, okay, I'm protected with my healthcare. But you don't really understand the limitations of that healthcare. You go to see the doctor and it's like, oh, that's not covered. Oh, this can't be done. And, you know, we saw during COVID, somebody would go to the hospital and say, I want to be treated with hydroxychloroquine. And they were told that's not happening. Well, that is not how healthcare is supposed to work. The doctor-patient relationship is supposed to be sacrosanct and private, and it's not. And it's not between the doctor and their patient. The fidelity of doctors is increasingly being less towards the patient and more towards their employer, the hospital system and the medical boards and the people that are trying to control the practice of medicine. And this is having negative consequences, and I see it in my own practice as an orthopedic surgeon, and it's frustrating and it's frightening. And that's the thing that is important to me on this show, is to communicate to everyone just how important it is to have freedom of healthcare, to have the freedom to associate with the doctor that we want to have, that we have a relationship with, that we can trust, and be able to discuss treatment options based on your own personal view of the world, and not have government interference tell us that we have to accept a one-size-fits-all, top-down, government-regulated healthcare system. Now, I was recently having a discussion with somebody about the way the healthcare system is set up with this control of doctors by medical boards and agencies, and you know, things like the CDC or the FDA. And people will say to themselves, well, we need some sort of entity to protect us, to make sure that everything is on the up and up, that drugs are safe and medical protocols are appropriate and safe and reasonable. And the more I practice, the more I live, the less and less I'm feeling like that's a workable scenario, because they simply aren't doing the job. And one of the simplest situations that I think explains this is when we go and we look at COVID, which, and listen, I'm saying things, I'm trying to be careful here, because we still risk being canceled. We still risk being attacked. And so my speech is being affected because I'm a human being and I'm worried about my ability to practice and to be in this world. And this is not a system that we should be living in. But I think I'm allowed to say, because the CDC now admits it, that hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin are effective treatments for COVID, right? They admit that now. So I can say it. I can also say that masks don't work, because that has come out with the Cochrane Review, and the Cochrane is still recognized as the repository of scientific literature. And so if the Cochrane Review says it, it's gospel. And so I believe I can say it and be safe at this point, I think. But, you know, the idea was that there was a time when if you said to use hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin that you would be banned, right? Your speech would be affected because it was labeled misinformation by the so-called experts. But then as time goes on, it turns out that things change. And yes, okay, ivermectin does work. And it is approved by the FDA. And that actually happened from a lawsuit. And I'm actually going to go through on a later show the lawsuit by Peter Corey on the ivermectin issue, because it really does connect dots and expose so many issues with the way the power centers of this world, the media, the government, the three-letter agencies all work together to control the narrative and control our behavior. And if we don't start taking back our healthcare freedom via the way we vote, meaning the elected officials in the local state and federal elections have to be people that promote healthcare freedom. And the importance of this cannot be understated. Now, I'm going to take a little trip down memory lane, as we often do. And I apologize to you out there if a lot of my shows seem to be repetitive, but I just get very anxious in the way things just get memory hold and we just seem to move on. It's as if we're not learning anything from the events that we just experienced. And because of that, we're destined to repeat them again. And, you know, when I look at the COVID vaccines, for example, I can go and pull you data and have on this show that demonstrates that the CDC and our three-letter agencies admit that the truth, that the risk to young people from COVID is extremely small. You then can show you that the three-letter agencies and the government entities and the boards admit that there are side effects from the COVID vaccinations, and yet you still see it being recommended by our three-letter agencies. And it's like, well, wait a second. You just said the risk is small and the vaccine has potential side effects. Shouldn't we discuss this more? Shouldn't we investigate more? And shouldn't we talk about this whole mandate situation to make sure that it doesn't happen again? And it's like, we just don't talk about it and we just keep moving forward. And I want to talk about it because I want to put some rules in place to prevent it from ever happening again. And not only that, I want everybody to wake up and realize what's happening, because if we don't understand what's happening, then we're going to be destined to experience this again. And that's something that can never happen. Now, let's go back and I want you to see a perspective about the way the world works. Now, I'm going to start the show off by playing you a video of former President Bill Clinton, former President George Bush, and former President Barack Obama, all standing, I think it's in front of the World War II Museum, American flags in the background. They're all dressed in their, you know, suits with their overcoats, and they're looking all presidential, okay? And then they put together this commercial. Let's listen to this.
Our fellow Americans, right now the COVID-19 vaccines are available to millions of Americans.
And soon, they will be available to everyone.
The science is clear. These vaccines will protect you and those you love from this dangerous and deadly disease.
They could save your life.
So we urge you to get vaccinated when it's available to you.
That's the first step to ending the pandemic and moving our country forward. It's up to you.
Okay.
Our fellow Americans. So
here we got a situation where we have authority figures. They get them from both sides of the aisle. So, you know, they're trying to look bipartisan. So, you know, we got basically, our, you know, the whole force of the federal government coming in and telling you something that the COVID vaccines are going to protect you. And most of us, because we're raised to respect authority, our parents, the police, things like that. Well, at least I was raised that way. I don't, you know, it seems to be deteriorating, but they're putting this out there. And this was at a time when people didn't really have any experience with this, and they're pushing a narrative, get your vaccine. Now, I've demonstrated on the show that I was aware of problems from the very beginning, as many people were. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't me. It was just I was able to interpret the information that was available. And I want to make that clear. I'm not some genius out there that was in my back room, you know, figuring stuff out. And then, therefore, if I say something, people that are against me can just label me, you know, a known spreader of misinformation. I was gathering information that was readily available to anybody who was able to consume it. You know, these were not my research. So at a time when they're telling me hydroxychloroquine is deadly, I'm sitting here going, wait a second. I'm reading all kinds of stuff saying it's totally effective. What's going on? It doesn't make sense to me. So here we have a situation where, you know, this is what we call good cop, right? Clinton, Bush, Obama, they're looking all presidential. They're standing in front of the World War II memorial, I think, some kind of memorial. They've got American flags hanging in the back. I mean, just real presidential. You heard the music, and they're sitting there saying, get your vaccine, it's going to save you. Now, it almost seemed like the powers that be, both political and financial, so that was one of the things that's interesting and important about COVID was it was a time when a lot of different power centers, you know, the corporate, so the pharmaceutical companies, the political, there was an election going on. They all, coordinated and they all had common goals. And so they were able to align. And part of this strategy was to convince, and this is my personal opinion. And I still feel like we live in a country where you're allowed to have opinions. You know, it was an opportunity for, them to take advantage of a situation to change the way elections were done. And that was sort of their plan. Okay. So just in case the good cop of the president's, you know, encouraging us to get vaccinated didn't work, they also had bad cop. And I'm going to play you this montage, that was put together. I got this from Cat Turd on, X. Of all different kinds of media people, political people, expert people, telling us to get vaccinated and sort of commenting on, whether or not we should get vaccinated and all that. I want you to listen to this.
Trump wrote on Twitter, don't be afraid of COVID. Don't let it dominate your life. Don't let it dominate your life.
In terms of responding to a comment like that, it's
Dr. Sanjay Gupta.
It's okay to be afraid of COVID, and it's okay.
MSNBC or CNN, Jake Tapper,
be afraid of
Wolf Blitzer.
You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
Al Gore.
You can't come in, Mom. It's because of this flu thing.
We won't be free of this pandemic until we listen to the acknowledged truth. Listen to the scientists.
Science is truth. You know, science is truth. What is the impact to public health when people are openly questioning the science?
Now is the time to do what you're told.
By not hearing the truth, by not listening to the scientists, they are prolonging how bad the economy will be.
When I see somebody out in the world who's not wearing a mask, I instantly think you are a threat or you are selfish or you are a COVID denier and you definitely haven't been vaccinated.
You don't wear a mask.
What does this have? Are you vaccinated?
I am triple.
So why are you wearing a mask?
Seek out the scientists and listen to their advice.
Listen to scientists.
Listen to the scientists.
Trust the experts.
We're going to trust science. We're going to trust the experts.
Parents who say, well, I need to do my own research. Makes you think of that cartoon I saw of the tombstone that said, I did my own research.
Republicans have...
Now, I'm just going to stop for a second on that one. You got this clown talking about berating people doing their own research. I mean, this is criminal, folks. Do your own research on everything. That is wisdom to do your own research. That is the whole point. They want you to stop thinking for yourself and they want you to listen to the people they deem experts, right? Because they're the ones who get to decide who the experts are. and they get to determine who's a known spreader of misinformation. There's not a debate of ideas out there. There's no, place you go to get designated an expert. And listen, let me tell you something. When I was going to medical school, I used to have wise doctors tell me that when you take care of a patient with a chronic disease, the family and that patient are going to know way more about that disease than you do, because it's important to them and they study it all the time. And just because you're a doctor, don't have the arrogance to think that you just are superior and you know more than them just because you're a so-called expert. And that is something that is just true. And that is, of all the things that have gone on, this idea of, you know, don't do your own research is really frightening. And if you ever hear it, you should run from the people that are saying it. But let's go on.
Giving their voters license to believe whatever they want to believe.
Heard somebody saying, listen to the scientists, do that.
Let's listen to the scientists. Phrase, do your own research. It's popping up a lot in conversations about coronavirus and about COVID vaccines. Doing your own research, it seems so innocent, but it can have serious consequences. Renee, what are the roots of this phrase? I feel like I used to hear it around QAnon craziness.
If some jerk exposed my mother to COVID because they didn't want to wear a mask, I would want to kill them.
We can watch the experts, but we shouldn't be listening to Trump, a non-medical professional.
Well, the answer is listen to Bill Gates. Bill's right about a lot of things, and he's the steep learning curve in global health.
And we're really seeing just how important it is to follow.
You see what I was talking about? They're the ones who get to determine who's an expert. I forgot what that clown's name was. He's a government Dr. Hack Cotes, I think his name was, saying that we need to listen to Bill Gates. So they're designating Bill Gates, who doesn't have a medical degree. He's an expert because we've decided. I mean, these people are unbelievable.
Science.
Yes, exactly. And we need to listen to scientists.
The idea that people...
What's her name? Greta Thunberg. So we got a child in there. Listen to the science. Oh, Greta Thunberg says do it. Let's do it.
Questioning the science behind the vaccine.
The science checks out. Even if you don't believe in the science, you think you're tough enough and you're healthy enough and you're young enough. The scientists were right all along. Eventually, the science catches up with you. Are we doing?
I want you to listen to the righteous indignation of these people telling you the science is determined. It is done. If you go around my family member and give them COVID, I want to kill you. All right, Don Lemon. All right, I want you to listen to the righteous indignation they have now, and I'm going to play you some other clips that show their tone changes a bit as the facts on the ground start to become irrefutable.
More harm than good by questioning the science behind J&J.
Trust that vaccine.
Trust the experts.
Listen to the medical experts.
Trust the experts.
If you don't understand the science, you don't know what you're fighting.
Just let the experts speak. So maybe you should just shut up right now.
Don't just take shut advice up from your golf buddy or from your aunt. You want to listen to the scientists.
And we all stop saying, I need to do my own research.
You see the ultimate effects of what happens when you don't listen to the scientists.
This isn't about being scared. This is about scaring us straight.
Science Cuomo. And science. Only listen to the scientist.
If we follow science, imagine.
Only listen to the scientist and, of course, Bill Gates when we say somebody else should be listening to.
Instead of staying locked up in their rooms, they're able to hug their grandchildren. This isn't about freedom. It's about freedom for your neighbors.
You can give each other a hug as long as everyone is fully vaccinated.
Listen to the scientists like the rest of us.
We have to listen to the scientists. We'll listen to the scientists.
Every scientist, every expert, listen to the experts.
Listen to the science because...
Yeah, but don't listen to people like Dr. McCullough, who's like one of the most published guys out there. When they decide somebody's not an expert, then you don't listen to them. I mean, it's just, for me, it's so obvious that this is ridiculous. And I'm fearful that people are not going to pick up on this stuff. Now, I always talk about when I was young, I used to watch CNN too, you know. But I stopped because at some point I used my common sense. And when they tell me things that turn out to be untrue, I just stop listening. And I don't understand how people can be lied to so often and so continuously and not connect the dots. And that's what I really want to do on the show. Now, so the first part was good cop, Clinton, Bush, and Obama, get your vaccine. The second part was bad cop, the media basically saying you're an idiot, you're a moron. If you do your own research, you're just a rube. Listen to the experts. And by experts, they mean listen to the people that we say are experts. And then you got Fauci, who's kind of this is the famous Fauci ideological BS. Let's hear this again in front of Congress.
Once people feel empowered and protected legally, you are going to have schools, universities, and colleges are going to say, you want to come to this college, buddy? You're going to get vaccinated. Lady, you're going to get vaccinated. Yeah. Big corporations like Amazon and Facebook and all of those others are going to say, you want to work for us, you get vaccinated. And it's been proven that when you make it difficult for people in their lives, they lose their ideological bullshit and they get vaccinated.
That's exactly what you meant when you said making it hard for people to live without getting a vaccination. You affected people's ability to work, travel, be educated, to actually flourish in American society, to self-determine, as we're all given God-given rights. Shame on you. You inspired and created fear through mask mandates, school closures, vaccine mandates that have destroyed the American people's trust in our public health institution.
Once people feel empowered and protected.
So this is Fauci in front of Congress saying that, you know, what they did was they basically just made it hard for us to live. So if there were people out there who were making determinations on their own by reviewing readily available information like I did and just saying, hey, man, I'm looking at this risk assessment and I want to go in a different direction. They're like, all right, you want to come to this school, buddy? You're going to get vaccinated. Well, that's not how medicine is supposed to work. Okay. This is not a leverage point for people that are trying to control our behavior. And if we don't start to understand what's going on, this is going to happen to us again. Now, so we got these, you know, I was going to play the Rachel Maddow, her, you know, smuggish, if you get the vaccine, it stops. It ends. It can't go on to infect another person. I mean, it's just so pathetic. But, of course, they're memory-holing a lot of this information. And so a lot of this stuff that I saved to be able to show you guys later gets taken away. But I want you guys to listen to Rochelle Walensky, who was the not the CDC director. She was the CDC director. I want you to listen to her admit that what vaccines no longer can do is stop transmission of the virus.
Our vaccines are working exceptionally well. They continue to work well for Delta with regard to severe illness and death. They prevent it. But what they can't do anymore is prevent transmission. So if you're going home to somebody who has not been vaccinated, to somebody who can't get vaccinated, somebody who might be immunosuppressed or a little bit frail, somebody who has comorbidities that put them at high risk, I would suggest you wear a mask in public indoor setting.
Okay, so this is just, this is still going on, right? She's telling you the vaccine will not prevent transmission anymore, but then says they're working great. And then you have to get vaccinated and so that we can open up the world again and we can get back to doing stuff. But because the vaccines don't prevent transmission before, you still have to get vaccinated, but you still also have to socially distance and wear a mask. I mean, it's like they're saying the facts are coming out. People are starting to realize, like, all right, it doesn't work, right? And they just ignore it. They don't reverse course. There's no explanation there. It's just, yeah, we've been saying everybody get vaccinated, but the reason for that vaccination is becoming clear. But we still need you to keep doing it. And so they put an expert up there to just say it. And from my perspective, it seems like way too many people are just kind of going along with it. And, you know, we've got to start connecting dots and waking up. And the way we're going to do that is by protecting our free speech. And so when you hear free speech being limited for any reason, whether it's, oh, there's a known spread of misinformation, or this person is spreading hate speech, or any of the other tactics that they use to limit speech, we need to fight against that, because free speech is paramount. The founding fathers knew it. That's why it's number one in the Constitution. And there is no arbiter of truth. The only way we get to truth is with open debate and free speech. We're going to go to a break right now. I'll pick this up on the other side. You're listening to the Doctor's Lounge. I'm Dr. Scott Barber on America's Web Radio. We'll be right back.
This is Dr. Hal Schurz from the Doctor's Lounge on America's Web Radio. I want to thank you for your support. Our show is brought to you by the Docs for Patient Care Foundation, which is the only physician-led healthcare think tank in the country. Our website is www.pcfoundation.org. We need you to support our organization so that we can continue to bring you this show and the information that you need so that you can support the healthcare of you and your family.
If you want the truth about politics, medicine, weapons, classic cars, and more, you'll want to tune in to America's Web Radio. You can listen to all of your favorite shows live at www.americaswebradio.com or on demand on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. That's www.americaswebradio.com.
Hey folks, this is Victor with the On Point with Victor show. Make sure you listen every Tuesday, 1 to 2, only right here on America's Web Radio, the On Point with Victor show. Remember folks, I'm not angry, I'm just right. And you can find out why every Tuesday from 1 to 2, the On Point with Victor show, only right here on America's Web Radio.
What do doctors talk about in doctors' lounges around the country? Find out on the Doctor's Lounge show, every Thursday at 8 a.m. on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Doctor's Lounge. I'm Dr. Scott Barber, and you're listening to me on America's Web Radio. We're going to pick it up where we just finished demonstrating good cop, the president's get your vaccination, bad cop, all of the media people saying you're evil if you don't get your vaccination, and then Fauci saying the quiet part out loud, that if we make it hard for people to live their lives, they're going to lose their ideological BS and get vaccinated. So that's what happened, right? America and the world followed along with these so-called experts, and people tried to be good citizens for the most part, right? And we all did what we were told to do, and then information starts to come out that all of the people that were getting canceled and punished and losing their medical licenses and being kicked out of their jobs, prevented from traveling, kicked out of meetings, and otherwise just canceled in life, the things that they were saying started to become so apparent that it couldn't be ignored. And then let's listen to this news report from Fox News.
And we are just getting word of this now. Regarding the COVID vaccine, the CDC is now saying that there has been enough cases of people who have had the vaccine, received the vaccine, and then suffered a stroke. The agency will now be investigating any potential links between the shots and strokes in some of those patients.
Okay.
So we are just getting word of this now.
All right. So this is from some time ago, but it was after the vaccine rollout. People started taking the vaccines, and then the strokes became so evident. And you have to understand, too, right? That had to be really evident for people to notice, right? Because we see that they're just kind of sweeping stuff under the rug. So they're going, the CDC, who told us it was safe and effective and everybody has to get it, and that you're evil if you don't get it, all of a sudden says, all right, we're having this complication, so we're going to study it. Wait a second. Are you telling me you didn't already study it? Because you just told me to get this new medicine for something that I'm looking online and I'm doing my own research, which you guys told me not to do. And I determined that it seems like I don't really have much of a risk here, and I would like to not take this new medication. and yet they made it hard for me to live. And, you know, if you want to go to this school buddy or keep your job buddy, you're going to lose your ideological BS and get the injection. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a second. Is anybody else not connecting these dots? Like, I got questions. What do you mean there's problems now? Let's go to the CDC. Official data from the CDC, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, has revealed that infant mortality rates have now soared to a record high. The newly released CDC data shows that death rates for American babies spiked massively in 2022. The surge marks the first jump in infant mortality rates in 20 years. The surge in death rates for children under the age of one started in 2022, the year after the COVID mRNA shots were rolled out for public use. In June of 2022, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, expanded the approval for COVID mRNA injection to be used on babies and toddlers aged 6 months to 5 years old. Now, I would encourage you guys to not listen to me and to do your own research and go look up and find out from the available sources what the risk of COVID death or severe injury to babies aged 6 months to 5 years is when they catch COVID. Go see how risky that is. And then ask yourself, does it seem reasonable to then subject them to this new vaccine that seems to have some questions associated with it? This is me using CDC data too. And that's the thing that's really, really interesting, is that the information comes out, but you never hear our three-letter agencies that are supposed to be protecting us come out and say, hey, listen, I know we were going in this direction, but information has come in and come to light. We've got new data, and now it's going in another direction, and let's talk about it. They don't do that. Instead, they say things like, don't do your own research, and anybody who says things that they don't want to say or don't want to be said starts to get canceled. So for me, that's like what I call a clue about, hey, wait a second, maybe I should think for myself. I want you to listen to FDA Director Peter Marks at a congressional hearing, where he's confronted with the fact that there was an avalanche of adverse event reports to the VAERS system. Let's listen to that. I want you to listen to the change in tone.
As of February 2024, VAERS reports for COVID-19 vaccines total significantly higher than all other vaccines combined since 1990, as reported.
Did you hear what he just said? The reports for adverse events for the COVID vaccine is higher than reports for all other vaccines combined. All right. Now, I know saying that out loud and thinking for myself and doing my own research makes me a candidate for cancellation, but I just think it's interesting.
Surprising. This is a surprising figure. Dr. Marks,
surprising.
The government prepared for such an avalanche of reports to VAERS, and it kind of goes with what we just mentioned. So,
Chair Wenstrup, thank you so much for that question, and I apologize about your name before. It shows when you're nervous, things can happen. but the point is extremely well taken. We tried to be prepared for that, but the avalanche of reports was tremendous, and it, again, required
avalanche.
Retasking people on the fly I'll let my CDC colleagues speak to this. We had to usually staff up and had many meetings working to increase our ability to go through these reports.
So I want you to pay attention to a couple things. First of all, Dr. Marks was one of these people that was like, get vaccinated or else. Get vaccinated or you're committing a crime against humanity. You know, Don Lemon, you know, you go around somebody and they catch it from you, I want to kill you. Also, you know, I just saw people with credibility, George Bush, Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, standing out there being all presidential and everything, telling me to take this vaccine or else. And that it's safe and effective and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, all right, now he admits, this is them admitting. And when I say them, it's the people who told you don't do your own research, get the vaccination without question, And anybody who says anything different about masks or social distancing or any of that is a known spread of misinformation, a hate speecher, and they need to be canceled. Well, now these people are all contrite. And it's kind of like, where are the apologies? And there are apologies out there. Let me tell you, you got a lot of prime ministers and other people involved in this stuff who are kind of like, hey, we apologize and all that. And I'm just wondering when we're going to have a worldwide conversation about what just happened, because there are still a lot of problems here that need to go, that can't go unaddressed. Most importantly, the mass, all-cause death rates, massive increase in all-cause death rates. We need to talk about this stuff because there needs to be accountability and there needs to be a change in the way we do things so that something like this doesn't happen again. And the other dot I need you guys to connect is this is not just happening with COVID. And what I mean is when you go see your doctor, the whole point is that your doctor is focused on you and your well-being and what options are available to you to give you the best possible chance of health. That is not the aim of the institution of medicine. They're doing more and more medicine from the perspective of what's good from the powers that be, from the government, right? That's why they create this one-size-fits-all, top-down healthcare system, right? You've got doctors that are being forced to toe the company line, whether they believe it or not, whether they have different information or not, whether they have other ideas about what might be good for you. And doctors that go outside the lines are being punished. And this cannot happen. I mean, we understand the concept of like Supreme Court justices getting confirmed to the Supreme Court for life, and the idea being we want them to rule honestly and not have to worry about life after being on the court or worrying about losing their job because of the way they think. Well, don't you think doctors deserve a similar type of protection? And I was telling you about a conversation that I was having with a loved one of mine that is very, very smart and believes wholeheartedly we have to have these agencies, the FDA, the CDC, the World Health Organization, the medical boards of all kinds to keep doctors and medicine in check. And I'm saying, but they're not keeping people in check. You know what keeps people in check? The free market. Well, the free market makes mistakes. Hey, everything makes mistakes. But the free market is something that works really well. It's just like when you want to know about polls for voting, right? If you go and you listen to the polls, Rasmussen and, you know, all the other ones that are out there, there's bias in there. There's bias in everything. But you know what has the least bias? The betting polls. You go to Vegas and you look at the betting polls. Those things are the most accurate. And why is that? Because people are voting with their money. And when people vote with their money, they tend to be the least biased and the most honest. You know, I was confronted by people about how do you know your politics isn't affecting the way you view this medicine? And I would say, because it's my health that I care about. My politics is irrelevant to how I'm interpreting the medicine. I don't want my kids to get injured. I personally don't want to get injured. And I didn't want any of my patients to get injured. So I wasn't looking at the information from a political vantage point. I was looking at it from a medical vantage point. And turns out I was right about everything that I said. So, they're investigating strokes, according to the CDC. The CDC is noting that infant mortality is skyrocketing, to the highest rate in 20 years, over 20 years, actually 20 years. You've got, the CDC now stating, this is from the CDC, though cases of myocarditis and pericarditis are rare, when cases have occurred, they have most frequently been seen in adolescent and young adult males within 7 days after receiving the second dose of an mRNA COVID-19 vaccine. However, cases have also been observed in females and other age groups and after other doses. Okay, that's from the CDC. And I'm saying like, all right, so now you say that there's myocarditis and pericarditis in these young people. And again, I would encourage you guys to all go do your own research about what the risk is for young people in these age groups of having serious complications or death from COVID. I'm going to give you a little hint and cut to the chase. It's extremely small. I mean extremely, like extraordinarily small. Okay? We've got a published in the Forensic Science International. This is a systematic review of autopsy findings in deaths after COVID-19 vaccination, and there are a bunch of authors here, Harvey Risch, Peter McCullough, many others. And let's look at the highlights of this study. We found that 73.9% of deaths were directly due or significantly contributed to by COVID-19 vaccination. Our data suggests that high likelihood of a causal link between COVID-19 vaccination and death. The findings indicate the urgent need to elucidate the pathophysiologic mechanisms of death with the goal of risk stratification and avoidance of death for large numbers of individuals who have taken or will receive one or more COVID-19 vaccinations in the future. This review helps provide the medical and forensic community a better understanding of COVID-19 vaccine fatal adverse events. Okay. All right. All right. So we're starting to, I could do this all day. And to the people out there that are listening that want to punish me and all this, all I'm saying is there's information out there on both sides. And when I say there's information on both sides about something important, my instinct is let's talk about it. Let's have more voices. Let's examine it. But does that seem to be what's happening from our leaders in the medical community? It doesn't seem so to me. It seems like they're just kind of moving on and they're, you know, they're kind of just trying to let things die down, all this kind of stuff. Now, let's go on to, this is, Cuomo. I can't get Mario. Chris Cuomo. So Chris Cuomo used to work for CNN. He was one of the guys who was like, I'll punch you in the face if you don't get your vaccine kind of stuff. I'm paraphrasing there, but you know, he was very aggressive about getting your vaccine and that you're a bad person if you don't mask, social distance and get a vaccine. Of course, we know he was kind of sneaking out on the side and not paying attention to his own rules, but that's for another day. There's Dr. Jha, who's one of the hired guns for the government position, who was very much, get your vaccine. It's safe. It's effective. You have to do it. It's a crime against humanity if you don't do it. This is what they were saying before. And listen to them now, Chris Cuomo interviewing Dr. Jha, reflectively about what just happened during the COVID pandemic. Let's see what they have to say here.
If we went through something like it again, do you believe that who would be mandated to get the vaccine would be much more narrow?
Yes, I do. I do. I look, I say this to my public health friends, and I remind them that the history of mandates in public health is not a glorious history.
No, it isn't.
In general, you don't want to use mandates unless you absolutely.
So it's kind of infuriating to me because I was saying that to these people during the heat of the pandemic and getting pilloried. And to listen to these clowns now just kind of after things are coming out that are, you know, it's not possible to ignore everything that's been going on. Here they are kind of sounding rational all of a sudden.
And I say that as somebody who supported vaccine mandates early on.
Yeah, you did.
But I'm also someone who ended all the vaccine mandates when I was at the White House.
Whatever.
Because I felt like the era of mandates was well past its prime.
All right, that's a flat-out redcon. That is not why they stopped mandating vaccines. That actually came down as a legal dictate. So the idea that these guys somehow saw the light and decided to end the vaccine mandates is absolutely false.
What I will say on this is you should use mandates rarely. You should use it very narrowly. And I get why people did it. I get why I was supportive of it initially. It seemed to work. It certainly saved a lot of lives. But in the long run.
Okay. It seemed to work. It saved a lot of lives. Okay. It didn't work. I just played you Rochelle Walensky, the CDC director, saying what the vaccines can no longer do is prevent transmission. Now, some of you out there might be saying, well, wait a second, it helped against the initial variants. You understand, like, when you go to medical school, one of the first things you learn about these respiratory viruses is one of the reasons it's so hard to make a vaccine against them is because they mutate so easily. And so it's just a dumb thing to do. It's kind of like, you know, putting a lock on a door and, the criminal uses a master key to get in any other door in your house. It's like, it doesn't matter if you do something on one door when the key opens all the other doors. This is, like, well known. So the idea that they were working well initially is not true, right? They didn't study it. I just played you that the CDC now says, wow, we're seeing all these strokes, so now we're going to look into it. They're lying. They're lying. That is just so infuriating to me. And I'm going to tell you guys something, and this is just me thinking out loud about myself, but when it comes to the government coming up with some kind of drug and they're going to mandate me to take it without me doing my own research, never. That's not narrowly, like never. You're not making me do that. And the reason is because you guys have proven yourself to be untrustworthy. And why is that? This is also what we call wisdom, the knowledge of things that never change, is because human beings are fallible. We all are. We're all sinners. We're all fallible, and we don't get to be the arbiters of truth. We don't get to make decisions for other people. That's just a fact. And, you know, look, I just played you the president of the United States, both parties, three different presidents. These people are authority figures who have accomplished a lot. And one would say, oh, you got to listen to them because they're former presidents. They just said something that was totally untrue. Get vaccinated. They're safe and effective and will protect you. That wasn't true. The older I get, the more I learn, like, I don't trust anybody just because of their education, their degrees that they have, the positions that they hold, prior decisions. Life is something that you are judged on a daily basis, you know? And, you know, that's also something that's wisdom is, you know, you're only as good as your latest game, right? And so these people are, in my opinion, this is just faux contrition. It's like they're busted and they're trying to kind of thread the needle of, well, I know I was a little bit tyrannical then, but I had my reasons and, you know, but it's all good. Let's just keep moving forward and let's not examine this. And my attitude is no, let's examine this in detail and let's get everybody to understand a few things. Number one, you guys don't get to tell me what to do, by putting in medicines into my body. I have a say in that. All right. You guys don't get to tell me the kind of health care that I'm allowed to have based on your values, your principles and all that. That's just not how this works. I have sovereignty over my own body. Okay. You're not going to tell me who the experts are and who the arbiters of truth are. That's not happening. We're going to have open debate. You're not going to limit speech by saying that your judgment is that somebody you disagree with is propagating hate speech or misinformation, and therefore we're going to shut them down. That's not going to happen. These are the lessons that we need to learn from this, is that we need open and honest debate, and we need freedom. We need freedom to follow the truth. So a little bit of contrition there from these guys. You know, we're investigating strokes. You know, what the vaccines can no longer do is prevent transmission. We got the CDC coming out and saying that the mortality rate for infants has skyrocketed. That's a little sketch. And then we also have them noting that myocarditis and pericarditis seem to be a problem with the vaccines, a side effect. And then we got Harvey Risch, Peter McCullough, Nicholas Holscher, and others posting a review article in Forensic Science International. This is available online, 21 June 2024, and basically notes, we found that 73.9% of deaths, you understand, of all deaths, 73.9% of deaths were directly due to or significantly contributed to by COVID-19 vaccination. Now, that is data that is put in a medical journal, and deserves discussion. All right. Now, just to take a little trip down memory lane, back when COVID was first coming around and me being a doctor with a medical practice and a family and also a human being not wanting to be hurt, I was like, you got this virus coming out of China. Let me check it out. So I started researching on my own. I was able to go online and I was able to get data from Italy and South Korea. They were posting this data. I was able to go through the patients individually myself, and I was able to notice that people that were dying from the and this is the original strain, which was legit. It was, you know, relatively dangerous and not ridiculous, not like what they said, 3.2% mortality, but it was, you know, it was more than a flu is what I'm admitting, and what's proven out by the facts. But it was clearly affecting older people in their 70s with comorbid conditions, up to three comorbid conditions, and that young people didn't seem to be dying or having serious long-term complications from it. That was my own analysis because I was doing my own research. And I don't know, maybe I'm allowed to do my own research because I'm a doctor, but I'm not one of their doctors, and so maybe I'm not allowed to do my own research. Maybe I need to check with Bill Gates on that stuff. But I was just looking at the numbers. No dog in this hunt, right? I'm just looking to be safe. And then I see things like the Royal College of London pointing out that the mortality rate is 3.2%, which was obviously ridiculous because they were just counting the people that were in the hospital, not taking into account people that they knew were out there that had COVID and just weren't at the hospital. And that would dramatically alter the 3.2% mortality. But it was clear to any sentient being that there was an intent to try and create a little panic so that they could implement things like lockdowns and all the rest, or to promote us taking the vaccine, whatever. But it was just, I remember when they said, I was like, oh my goodness, it's so false. And why would you say that out loud to freak everybody out? That's what I said in my own head. Okay. I then start reading about hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. Now, hydroxychloroquine I have experience with because I'm an orthopedic surgeon, and people have psoriasis, and hydroxychloroquine is a common drug for that. Also of note is, and when any young person goes to do a mission trip to a place that has malaria, we commonly give them hydroxychloroquine without even thinking twice. We don't do any cardiac tests or anything like that. It's one of the safest drugs ever, been given forever. And then ivermectin, which I studied as COVID was coming out, finding out that that was one of the most safe drugs ever. And then Rolling Stone magazine came out with this article that said that people were dying left and right in emergency rooms because doctors were distracted by all of the poisonings from ivermectin, stating that the doctors were having to take care of all these poisonings, and therefore gunshot wounds and other things were dying because the doctors were so overwhelmed with these ivermectin poisonings. Well, it turned out that, and that article then went around on CNN, MSNBC, ABC, all the rest, and it turned out to be a complete fake, right? You had the FDA put a tweet out, an infamous tweet, basically saying, why are you taking a horse dewormer? So they're actively, this was on August 21st, 2021. I'm going to talk about this later. But they basically, it seems like a concerted effort to try and discredit ivermectin. And then, of course, it went to court, and the CDC ultimately admitted that ivermectin is safe and it's an effective treatment for COVID. So, connecting the dots. Let's do our own research. Let's start thinking for ourselves. Let's start connecting the dots, and let's start voting appropriately so that we can reclaim a freedom of healthcare in this country, because that ultimately is what our goal is here. Now, I hope that was a decent show, connecting some dots for you and helping you see the light, and also helping us to critically think going forward. We're going to talk about this more in the future. Thanks for being a part of the show. You're listening to The Doctor's Lounge. I'm Dr. Scott Barber on America's Web Radio. Everybody have a great week. I'm out. I'll see you next time.
The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.